All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. How y'all feeling? Feeling good on this foggy morning? Man, I woke up and thought, goodness sakes. So glad you're here and here safely here today. And we are in week three of our series that we're calling My Greatest Year If. We're taking these Sundays and sharing just some key things that I think is going to be important for this is going to be one of the greatest years of our life. And I pray that in these first 3 weeks already that you are seeing a difference and God is doing some things. And maybe you're in a place today that you're still working through some things, but I'm just believing before the end of this service that you are leaving with something different today and some change on the inside of you like never before. And so we're just so thankful for what God's doing. How many just feel it and just even through this series so far, man, just sense it. God's doing some things. Amen? And so, and you can sense it really during this fast. This 21 days of prayer and fasting has been powerful. We're in our final week, and this is kind of the last push, all right? And so this is kind of gets hard on the flesh, man, so to speak. And so I want to encourage you, just stay positioned and ready to continue to receive from God. And it's been great hearing from some of you and just what God is doing in your life and through this fast. And I'm believing for some amazing results for what God's going to do in the weeks and months ahead in 2018. Amen? And so you can just really sense it and feel it. And so I just want to encourage you in this last week. We're having prayer every day at the offices from 6 a.m. To 7. We start on time. We end on time. And so those are, again, at the offices. You can get that information there at the hub on your way out. And then also Saturday morning prayer. Yesterday, man, was just through the roof. It was incredible. 9 a.m. Every Saturday. We always have prayer, not just in 21 days of prayer and fasting, but just a ton of people that are coming out and joining. And it's just something powerful when you're praying together with people. And God is very attracted to unity and togetherness. Amen? And so we're just seeing that and experiencing that. And then I just want to give a shout out to a bunch of you second service people that I'm seeing, all right, that made the move from second to first service. And if you don't know, and if you haven't been in second service lately, it has been over capacity. We were literally last Sunday at standing room only, our ushers having to stand. We had literally chairs on all the walls in the back. And I mean, it was fun, but man, you couldn't move around. So great problems. And I see a lot of second service people in here. So just thank you guys for just making room and just as you call this church home, that we're making room for our guests in our 1115. And we should be at three services right now. And so Pastor Kyle, I don't know what I'm waiting on, but I'm just, I don't know. We'll pull that trigger here before long. But nonetheless, it's helping by you making room in second service. And so thank you very, very much for just your heart and understanding to that. So don't make it just a one Sunday occurrence, all right? So yeah, all right, so keep helping us with that. All right, but let's get in the message here today, and I want to start off in our theme scripture in Joel 2, and you can follow along on our message notes if you want or on the screens behind me. And again, if you're here for the first time, just welcome. So glad that you're here today with us. And again, as my wife said, we know you could be anywhere, and so we're just honored and glad that you are worshiping and hanging out with us today on this Sunday. But it says this in Joel chapter 2, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing and your grief, but tear your hearts instead. The thing about God is always attracted to our brokenness. You know, the Bible says that he is close to the brokenhearted, close to those who's crushed in spirit. But there ought to be a breaking in our hearts, a humility in our hearts, because we don't know it all. And not only do we not know it all, but there are things within our lives that we need help with. Issues and struggles. Am I talking to anybody who's got any struggles? Yeah, and so we need that. And so God says, I want you to turn your heart to me. In Old Testament days, it would be a ripping of their clothing that would signify that. But God, in the better New Covenant days, is saying, man, I want your heart, Return to the Lord with your God, for he is merciful. Come on, church, shout he's merciful. And shout he's compassionate. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. And so the idea of this series is, you know, we come into a new year, we set a lot of goals, and a lot of times we find ourselves setting the same goals every year. So what's the issue? Why do those things continue to happen? And part of the reason why we're working through this series to really just set us up with a great foundation for what God wants to do in our lives in 2018. And so how do we finally, though, check off those things that we've been wanting to see God do, those resolutions? And so I want to do just a quick review. If you've missed any of this series, man, I just want to encourage you, go on the app and go online as well and check that out. And make sure you listen to those messages. I really feel like it'll be helpful for you. But the first week we talked about staying connected with God. that the whole purpose of fasting is a disconnect, that we're disconnecting from the world around us and staying connected with God, because it's a connection issue. How many of you have ever had a connection issue with your phone? Like you wouldn't think in 2018 you'd still have a connection issue. But we have connection issues. And the same is said in our spiritual walk with Christ, that we have connection issues sometimes in our walk with the Lord. Amen? And so it can be frustrating. And so so we talked about staying connected. And then last Sunday was powerful, wasn't it? I mean, it was just extraordinary, just what God did. And just, man, we just really pulled the plug on, in the sense of just at the end of service, went back into some worship because, God was just talking to us. And talking to us on just the subject we talked about last week, turning someday into today. But how many times do we talk about, man, one day I'll do this, someday I'll do this, and it's excuses. And so we learned that life is too short. David said, Lord, remind me how brief my time is on this earth. And so we talked about instead of focusing on the temporal, let's focus on the eternal. Amen? And so, and this is one point that I want to just remind us of today because I think it's crucial. And that is this, that you are not a physical being having spiritual experiences, but you are a spiritual being having temporary physical experiences. You're not a physical being having spiritual experiences, but you're a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. You and I have just so much time on this earth. Last week I did an illustration with the rope. How many remember that? And so just showing us that you and I have a short window on this earth and eternity is forever. So once we have passed from this earth, eternity is forever. It's a long time. And so we've just got this short window of time that God has given you and I on this earth. And so we've got to use it wisely. But I want to talk to you today specifically, if we're going to have, I think if this is going to be one of your greatest year so far of your life, that it's time to overcome it. And I don't know what it is for you. Only you and God know what it is, but that this is the year that you finally draw that line in the sand, take that next step and say, this is the year that I'm finally overcoming that thing. That thing that's held me back, that thing that continues to rear its head in my life, that continues to, it's like I take one step forward and then all of a sudden I get hit and then it's like I take two steps back, but that this would be the year that I finally overcome it. And I just believe there's all of us in here that we got some things that we need to overcome. Some things that we really need the power and the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to move beyond where we're at into the future that God has us. But it seems like for some, it's like we try to take this step and to move forward. But this thing, whatever it is, continues to hold us back from God's plan. And there's so many addictions that we have and things that we struggle through. And it was funny because, I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. I was looking up different addictions in the world today, and it's just unbelievable to me the different kinds of addictions that are out there. And you know, there's an addiction that if I'm not careful, that chicken burrito at Chipotle could be very bad for me, you know? And so got to be careful with that. For some, tanning is an addiction. For some, eating toilet paper is an addiction. One I read was eating her couch was an addiction. Not sure how that plays out, but nonetheless, it was an addiction. Dryer sheets, I don't know. And working out can be an addiction for some. Gossip for some. How many know the cell phones can be an addiction for some? Social media. And some of y'all are fasting that. I think some of the things that we're fasting, we may want to consider not to pick up again. I'll just leave that one there, all right? And then gambling. And so there's all kinds of different addictions out there. And the same could be said for our spiritual lives and our spiritual walk with Christ, that there are areas of sin that every one of us, if we're not careful, we're susceptible to. And if we open the door to them, it can form addictions in our life, and it can ultimately send us into a trap. And so I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and then we're going to get into some things here practically. But James 1:14, it says, everyone, everybody shout everyone, is tempted by his own desires as they lure him away and trap him. The goal of the enemy is to trap you. But everyone is tempted. I don't care who you are. Don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you're the bishop, if you're the pope. Doesn't matter who you are. Every one of us deal with temptations. Temptations only sin when you give in to them. So what do you do with the temptations when they come? That's the question. And so sin is a powerful force. And that the enemy wants to bring us into a trap of sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that's the power of what sin can do and the control of the enemy. And then there's a custom trap, though, that Satan has, that he's looking to trap you and I, to prey upon the weaknesses. Jesus said in John 10, the thief's purpose, Satan's purpose, is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to bring you life and to bring a life to the fullest. And man, that's what I want. I want more of God's life, more of God's power, more of God's purpose in 2018. Amen? And so, and maybe that is you. Maybe you found yourself setting some of those same resolutions. You find yourself in that place and trying to get free. I think one thing that's really important is identifying the first thing, and that's, how did I get where I'm at? How did I get there? And the enemy's tactics, I taught on this probably a year or so ago, that there's nothing creative about the enemy. He's very predictable. That his tactics, because there's nothing creative in him, he only perverts that which God has created. So he'll continue to try to use the same thing to trip you and I up over. Are you with me? And so, but the key is, are we going to get hip to the game and understand that and then do something about it? Or just kind of patty cake with it, do lip service, and then kind of hope it into existence. But it's not enough just to hope it. We've got to make steps, and steps that are going to bring us into the place of freedom. And I'm going to share more of what I'm talking about when I say that here in just a moment. But I want to take us back to Adam and Eve. I want to take us back into the scene of the garden, because that's where sin began. And with Adam and Eve, and here is the enemy in the form of a serpent talking. And the first thing that happens with Eve and what's taking place is there's an interrogation that the enemy does with her. And so you can jot that down. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, he said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, I don't want to assume that you know what I'm talking about, because God gave a specific command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told Adam, he told Eve, and if you do that, you will surely die. So now here's Satan, and he's trying to sabotage what God has already said, and he's interrogating her. And again, he said to the woman, did God really say? And as we're working through this, you can kind of see in our own lives how this kind of plays out. Did God really say it, that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? In other words, he's trying to attempt to redefine God's boundaries in their lives and what really is sin. And what do you believe, Eve, God has really said? Every lying thought tests the boundaries and the validity of God's law and who he is. And so notice he first used the words, did God really say that? Did you really hear from God? Is that really true? Is that really, you know, and even in our own lives, is that really in the word? Can he really not do that? And so rejecting God's word always starts with doubt. The enemy will try to get you and I to get into that place. And the devil knew exactly what God had said. And so the interrogation goes on. And what he was trying to do was seeing if, can I get a foot in the door with Eve? And Satan was testing her approachability. All right, I want you to continue to go with me here in Genesis 3. He goes on to say, he said, you will not surely die. That's not going to happen, Eve. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes are going to be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so Satan is saying this. In other words, he's saying, God's not telling you the truth. He's keeping you from something. Your life will be better if you disobey. The trap of the enemy always gets us to question God's goodness, to lie to us, to manipulate us, to sabotage God's word. And then we've all faced the next kind of progression of what Eve was facing. And then she had a time of just meditation. Jot that down. Meditation. And the Bible says in verse 6 that when the woman saw, I want you to see this, the importance of this word. In the Hebrew, it's the word raah, R-A-A-H. And it literally means to give attention, to examine, or to make an inspection, to take into consideration, to perceive. She saw, not a glance, not a one of those and done, but an intentional gaze. How many know there's a difference between a glance and a gaze? You with me? And so here she was. She was looking, and as she was meditating, she was now thinking about it. She began fantasizing about the sin, fantasizing about making this decision. And we've all had crazy thoughts bombard our minds. Okay, how many spiritual people am I really talking to? We've all had crazy thoughts hit our minds. All right, I just make sure I'm at Elevate City Church and not somewhere else. And so we all have thoughts that are crazy. You've heard me say it. We're all one step away from stupid. We just are. We think crazy thoughts. I don't want to know what you're thinking. You don't want to know what I'm thinking. Thank God that he's the only one that knows what we're thinking, so he can help us. Because if we knew what each other was thinking, we'd all be in trouble. Yeesh. But we all have these crazy thoughts, and she's got these crazy thoughts. And some of you have those crazy thoughts in the traffic, don't you? Come on, you got to be too spiritual this morning to say, man, I need some help in the traffic. I mean, isn't that like the time where it really manifests the most? It'll really show where your anger level's at, your patience level's at, your grace level's at. Can you forgive people? I'm like, man, it's like all in one. Lord, just put us in a vehicle and we'll see how we're doing, you know? And I'll never forget when I first moved to Fort Wayne, man, I got so upset on Coliseum one day. And because I come from a big city in Columbus, about 2 million people. So, man, it was, God love the people of Columbus, but I'm glad to be in Fort Wayne. But I'll never forget, and traffic, trust me, gang, I hear people say, man, did you sit at that wait at Lima or Coliseum? Man, it was 10 minutes, too long. I'm like, gang, it takes me about 45, 60 minutes, which should take me 10, 15 minutes to get home in Columbus, you know? So I'm thinking, thank God for the 10 minutes, you know? And I'll never forget, though, I was on Coliseum, and it was before we planted the church. We just moved here in 2011, and I got so frustrated. This person cut me off, because I know y'all never have gotten cut off, and I'm sure you said, oh, bless them, Jesus, go right ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, may the Lord be with you. Bless them. Thank you, Jesus. That's not how it went down for me. Maybe that's how it goes down for you. I'm just not that spiritual. So anyways, I'm just like, man, what are you doing? Like, use your signal. You know, I had like one of those moments. I'm like, what are you thinking? I'm just being honest. And I was like, man, that's stupid. Quit acting stupid. You know, like, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, said, Kyle, you better be careful what you're saying. You may pastor them one day. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Forgive me. All right. So, anyways, now I'm real careful when I'm in Fort Wayne because it might be one of you. I don't know. Oh, man. Ephesians 4:27. Oh, man, 4:27. Real quick. It's off script. I don't know if I've ever, I think I've told this, been a long time. Pastor friend of mine, Arkansas, and he was driving on the interstate down there in Little Rock. Pastor's a great church. He said, man, I went on the interstate one day, and I was driving. And he says, I was driving. There's a guy behind me. And he says, four lanes. It's like, why are you riding me so close? Like, go in the other lane. There's three other lanes that are available to you. So anyways, finally the guy goes over, and he's driving. And the guy, you know, you have that moment where you can look. How many know what I'm talking about? It's like, you can look. Like, you're going to look? You're going to give a face? You're just going to keep doing this, you know? And so some of y'all give the looks. I know it. Come on. And be careful, though, all right? And so he said, I decided I was going to look. So Pastor Rick said, I looked over, and the guy flipped me off, told me I was number one. And then he looked at me, and I looked at him again, and he looked at me, and I looked at him again, and I realized he went to my church. And he said, at that point, that guy slowed down and went right behind Pastor Rick the rest of the way. Woo! The moral of the story, don't flip off your pastor, all right, everybody? Please don't do that. I'll keep loving you, though, and I'm sure others have done that to me, all right? But nonetheless, I love you. I thought that was funny. Anyways, Ephesians 4:27, I got to get back on track here. It says this, do not give. Will you read this with me? Come on. Do not give the devil. Great. Read it one more time, real loud. Do not the Greek word for foothold is pretty powerful. It's the word topos, and it means a place. Keep that verse up there. A place, foothold means a place, a position, or opportunity. And so once Eve opened the door to the enemy and realized, gave the enemy access, Satan realized, man, I got approachability. I can come in her life. And what has happened now is it has changed her perspective. And the Bible says in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So now the clear line has been blurred. Boundaries become hard because that's what happens with sin. Sin kind of, it'll begin to smudge your glasses. It'll smudge your vision, so to speak. And so what happens is God wants to remove that. And that's part of why he went to the cross for you and I, by the way, and died for us, shed his blood for us, amen, so the smudge can be removed so that we can see again. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus, amen? And so then the next part happens, Eve, there was this selection. The Bible says that she took some. She picked the piece that was most desirable to her, that she wasn't even supposed to touch, verse 3 tells us. So she crossed the boundaries that God has set. She went through the selection process, the level, and just things like greed and hatred and envy, she began to have a heart issue. And what happens is when we engage in sin, man, it becomes to stir up into a heart issue. And now we're not heart healthy. And so our vision is blurred. Sin does that. It'll keep you away from God's purpose. But again, that's why Jesus went to that cross. He has so much more for you and I, and he's wiped the slate clean once and for all. And then the selection took place, then the action. Verse 6, again, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. But I want to show you something with this verse. I want you to see this verse. And I want you to see it how I just highlighted a few things. Because if you remember in week one, I talked about that you and I are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, body. How many remember that? And if you haven't heard that message, you need to go listen to it. Spirit, soul, body. One of those is in control. And whichever one is in control of your life dominates the other two. And so this is a perfect example of the battle of the spirit, the soul, the body for Eve. It says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, there's the body, the lusts of the flesh. There is the craving, the things that the body does. Then pleasing to the eye represents the soul. Representing the soul, representing what the feelings and the emotions and the desirable for gaining wisdom, representing really that spirit part. So here's the process. She listened, she saw, she took, then she ate. And that's the progression that sin oftentimes takes you and I down this. It's each small step was a progression into greater deception, ultimately to lead her in the trap. And I think there's things that many of us need to overcome today. I don't know what it is for you, but let's not patty cake with it. But let's just get honest with God so God's redemptive heart and healing and forgiveness can come in and wipe the slate clean, and then let's make some decisions of how to move forward. I'm going to help you with that today. But you've got to identify what are those things within your life. My job's not to point those out to you. It's not your neighbor's job to point that out to you. You've heard me say this too, and I just think it's a helpful reminder that it's the Holy Spirit's job to fix us. It's not our job to judge people. It's not our job to try to fix people. It's our job to love people, the Holy Spirit's job to fix people. All right? And we've got to trust God with that. But for some of us, it's different. Our battles are different. Our stories are different. Our addictions are different. For some, maybe this is a year we need to finally overcome the addiction to alcohol. Maybe overcoming the addiction to drugs. Maybe overcoming that emotional affair or pornography or lying or eating, worry. Maybe for some it's fear, for some unforgiveness, but for some of us it's been this gradual path that's taken us down this dark road. And I'm just encouraging us, let this be the year, let this be the day that we make some decisions in our heart. Are you with me, church? And the Bible says this in verse 6 again, that she also gave some then to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam's path was a little bit different. Remember, God said you would die, so when he saw Eve and that she partook of this, she noticed to him, well, she's not dead. Maybe this is okay. Maybe this is all right. This kind of looks fun. The Bible talks about sin is pleasurable for a season. For a season, not seasons. Singular, season. It's like we talked about last week, the mentality of cultures. Maybe just live it up for the moment. Forget about eternity. But God has called us to live with an eternal perspective. Are you with me? And so either way, he was in the place where he got trapped. And Paul, I think, says it so well, and I think you and I can identify this in Romans 7. He says, I don't understand myself at all. How many can say, amen, brother? For I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. So the question is, man, how do we escape? What do we do? How do we get away from it? And I think, number one, this is what's critical. If you're going to overcome it, and I just want to encourage you more than anything, This is not a message today, and as I was praying this week for you, this is not a message between me and you. This is just, and I hope you hear the heart of God today. This is a message between you and God, that God loves you so much that he'll deliver messages like this to help us, to bring us closer to him. And I just pray this is the year you overcome it. This is the year that you look back, man, 2018 was my victory year. Not only did I get my freedom on, but man, I moved into the destiny that God has called me to, and I'm living it out. Now, we talk about getting free, and it's great to get free. It's one thing to get free, and it's another thing to put some momentum and action to that freedom. And I think what happens is the enemy comes in and sabotages that freedom when we don't get moving. So we got to pursue the Christian life that God has called us to. So you got to conquer fear and shame. God came down to hang out with Adam. And he's calling for Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? The Bible says he went in the garden. He was looking. He was calling out to him. And Adam answered. He said, God, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid. And I think fear and shame go hand in hand, that we get ashamed of our sin and we get ashamed of ourselves, that we spend more energy trying to cover it than to get free from it. And for some, it's almost like it's become part of our identity. We've internalized it so much that we've just said, man, it's always going to be this way. And some of you may have heard my story, and I want to say it again, because my heart, when I got free, was wanting to help other people get free. I'll never forget many, many years ago that I was in the trap, in the prison cell of pornography, and it ruined my life. I came to church, man, I put my face on. Woo! Praise you, Lord. But inside, I'm a mess. Mess. I'll never forget, all through my teen years into 1920, man, it just wrecked me. I was molested as a young boy in the church, and nobody knew about it until I turned 20. Nobody. My parents didn't know. Nobody knew. And I dealt with the fear and the shame of ever wanting to move forward, because I was afraid of what people may think about me. I was afraid because as Satan was telling me, you'll never be in ministry. God can never use somebody like you. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Look what you're doing now. I mean, just the lies of the enemy and the fear and the shame that hit me. But the enemy's goal was to keep me in darkness. And I was like a lot of Christians. I still went to church. But man, I just, on the inside, I was an absolute mess. So finally, I'll never forget one day, I came home. And I was 19 at this time. And I was working, had my own apartment. And I came home that day. And I literally walked through the front door, locked the door, and got right into my living room when I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, just out of nowhere. And said, Kyle, if you don't deal with this, this is going to take you out. It'll take your future wife and kids out. I didn't know Bethany at this point. And it'll take any future ministry out. You've got to get this dealt with. And I hit my knees, you guys. I mean, I fell on my knees and I wept. And I said, but God, who can I even talk to about this? If people find out this is it, I'm ruined. Any shot of ministry, Bible school, it's probably done. I mean, this is what the enemy's telling me, you guys. And these are real thoughts. When God said, no, if you'll get honest, and if you'll get honest with me and get honest with somebody and get the healing that you need, I'm telling you, this is going to be a story that I'll turn to help people with. And so my first phone call was to my mom. My second phone call was to my dad, then my pastor. Then I got professional help. And I'll never forget, man, because the enemy wanted to keep me locked in bondage. And the enemy has tried to lie to some of us and saying this addiction is going to be your life story. But I'm just here to let you know that is a lie from the pit of hell. That may be a story, but it's going to be a story that God's going to use to help somebody else come out of that thing in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give God a hand. Amen, everybody? Come on, you just don't go through some stuff. God's going to use that story, use that, whatever you've been through, to help pull other people out of the grips of the hands of the enemy. And I'm telling you, this is the year that God's wanting to raise his people up like never before into destiny and to do and fulfill his purpose. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sins doesn't prosper. Whoever confesses and renounces finds mercy. You got to get honest with someone. You're only as sick as your secrets. Whatever you can't talk about in public is already out of control in your life. We've got to get honest. That's why small groups have literally helped us save the lives of people. Through the power of God and the power of relationships are helping people tremendously. I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. Here's the second thing you and I got to do is we got to stop with the excuses. Can the excuses? Can them? Everybody say, can them? Excuses. No more excuses. Genesis 3, back in here at verse 12. Watch the excuses in play. Adam said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me that fruit. Her fault. Her. Yes, I ate it, but her. And then the woman said, well, it was the serpent's fault. His. Stupid snake. His fault. And we all get in the blame game. And I think what's important is we take responsibility for us. What happens is I notice when we blame things or we blame people, it's oftentimes an indication of what's going on within us. Hurting people hurt people. So just remember that. And I promise, man, the person who is short with you at the restaurant today, that server, she's going through something. Yeah, the person who's changing your oil, when he's got a bad attitude, he's going through something. And I think if we just have that perspective of believing the best about people instead of believing the worst about people, I think we'd have a better world to live in. But I realize that's hard because that can only happen with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit within your life to give you that kind of God perspective. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the blame game, I mean, that happens with my kids. Lord, have mercy. Anybody else's kids go through the blame? What my fault? I mean, you know, it happened the other day, and I think I just get tested whenever Bethany leaves. I mean, it's just like she was just doing her grocery thing. I said, I got the kids, cool. You know, she trusted me again, it's great. And then, oh man, they just, you know, Braxton just turned 2 yesterday, but Judah and Ashton, man, they just, I mean, sometimes it's like, Lord. And so they were getting at it, and I said, you know, one pushed the other, you know how it goes. I said, well, who pushed who? Who started it? Okay. And just, there they go. Judah, wow, and Ashton, wow. I thought I was going to show a picture, and I thought I wouldn't today. I don't want to embarrass my kids ever in the world. But, so we talked it out, and I believe in discipline and correction in the Mills household. I think it's good. I think it's very scriptural. And so we had our reconciliation time, and this is usually what it looks like in our home. Good hug. Good kiss, all right? And then the way I do it is they sit down, they hold hands for a little bit. You ought to have seen their faces. I said, oh, yeah, you going to love each other. While you under my roof, this is the way it's going because I ain't going to listen to it. Ain't got time for it. So Braxton's just standing by Dad. I don't think I told Ben this part. And Braxton, all of a sudden, he just thought, man, they're holding hands. I'm going to get in this too. So he jumps up there with him, and he jumps up with his sister, and he's holding her hand. I said, well, glory to God, all of you are going to be in unity. Amen. Here's what I know. Here's what I know, though. A mistake repeated more than once is a decision. Some of us need to write that down. That hit my spirit this week. A mistake repeated more than once is a decision. So when we're doing it again and again, there's decisions. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 4, I got to move. This verse is powerful. It's out of the Message. It says, you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God in his way. And do you suppose that God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. God has no interest in being anywhere on the list in your life other than being first. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. Amen. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. Man, that's what for some of us, man, we need to allow the pride to break today. Who cares? Who knows? Who cares? Listen, don't let the devil keep you in that place any longer. God wants freedom, and you are already forgiven. You're forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Past, present, future, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. But he goes against the willful proud. You don't want God going against you. But he gives grace to the humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify. This is what this fast is all about, your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. Cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. It's time to get serious, really serious. Man, it's kind of intense, Pastor. But listen to me. It's time to get serious. God's not saying you can't have fun and can't enjoy the journey. Not at all. But we need to quit dabbling in the things that are taking us away from his purpose. Are you with me? Maybe even some of the relationships we need to redefine in our life. So get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way that you'll get on your feet. And hey, don't badmouth each other, by the way. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. And Let me just say this. In your workplace and with people in your life, your words carry so much power. A lot of us, if we're not careful, it's hard to move forward because we can't speak enough life and we're speaking too much death. And instead of waiting on God, God has said, I'm waiting on you to just correct the tongue first, James chapter 3. And so don't get up in the mess of what happens in the workplace sometimes. I was in corporate America, and man, it's amazing how nasty it can get in the workroom and the offices. Nasty jokes, affairs, just all kinds of stuff happen. The lie of the devil. And I'm just telling us, let's get in a place of honoring God, because if we're not honoring God with our words, then we're writing graffiti all over his message. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? God's a good preacher, isn't he? It's good. And I just know this, that you will not be free until you accept the responsibility. And it's time that we move forward. Because when I make room for excuses, I don't have room for expectations. When I make room for excuses in my life, I don't have room for expectations. Some things are not your fault. Listen to me today. Some of you need to hear me say this. Some things that have happened to you are not your fault, but you need to choose life today. You cannot control what happened to you, but you can control how you respond and how you act. Are you with me? Excuses or expectation, you've got to decide. And here's the third thing, is you got to break the cycle. Break the cycle. 2 Timothy, flee evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Very quickly, I want to just help you break the cycle. Here's the first thing. Run away. Run away from temptation. Your temptations are normal, all right? You're not as crazy as you probably thought you were. All of us deal with temptations. It's what you do with it. For some, if we need to get filters on the internet, we need to do it. If we need to get honest, whatever. God delivered me years ago from that. But you know what? I still have filters to protect myself. I said, wow, you know what that is? Wisdom. And I'm not embarrassed to say that because I want to protect myself and my family going forward in Jesus' name. Y'all with me? James 4, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to show you something real quick about this verse. It's really powerful. This is what many of us do in the height of sin or temptations is we just try to resist. God showed me this a long time ago. He said, you're resisting without going to me first. He said, go back to this verse and read it again. And I said, okay, submit yourself. And the Holy Spirit said, that's what you're not doing. You're not submitting first. Anytime that you try to resist without submitting, it'll never work. But for every time that you submit first, I promise you there's power that's going to meet you in the midst of that temptation, and you'll overcome that thing. I double dog dare you to start submitting to God first, then resist. Change your thinking in that. Are you with me? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Psalm. He delights in every detail of your life. He's interested. Though they stumble, they're not going to fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. That's why our faith life in small groups and being a part of it and being in church is crucial. My faith doesn't prevent me from struggles. We're going to have issues. We're going to have attacks in our life. My faith doesn't prevent me from an attack, but it gives me the fortitude to get back up again. That regardless if I made a bad decision or I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I'm not staying on the ground. I'm either up or I'm getting up. That's my posture. Amen? Bible says the righteous man may fall 7 times, but he still gets back up again. Here's the next thing you got to do, and that's run towards God. Run to him. He understands our weaknesses. He faced all the same temptations, Hebrews 4, we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of the gracious God. There we receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it. You will never be free trying to just not do something. I'm going to say it again. You will never be free. I've been there, thought I could do it on my own. And I'd have a week or two of victory and then right back in it again. But you will never be free trying to not do something. You've got to fill your life with something better. And that's part of our responsibilities. We're trying to give things in your life and destiny and purpose to pursue because that's what God wants for us. And I just want you to know that regardless of the mistake that you've made, listen to me very clearly. Listen to me very clearly that Jesus hasn't changed his mind about your purpose. Regardless of what has happened, actually, he knew you were going to make those mistakes. How's that for your theology? He knew it. God places great grace on great mistakes. And your mistakes are not final, and they don't define you. Amen? And here's the last thing. You got to run with people. For some of us, it's our small groups are 2 weeks away, Rally Day, February 4th. Our freedom small groups. Get in a freedom group if you've never been through it. I encourage people. I've encouraged everybody, and I will continue to. Get in a group. We've got currently over 30. We're pushing. I think by the end of it, by launch day, we may have close to 40 groups. No excuse why you can't get involved. Jump in a small group. We're a church that believes in community, man, and relationship, and we realize we cannot do this on our own. James 5:16, one of my favorite scriptures. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. We go to God. It's the vertical relationship for forgiveness, and we go to healing. A lot of the reason sometimes that we struggle here with people horizontally is because there's a struggle here with God. I've noticed anytime there's a struggle here, there's a struggle here. And here's what I'm encouraging you. What is ahead of you, what's in front of you, is greater than what's behind you. Stop looking at the past and start focusing again on the future that God has for your life. Can you say a good amen this morning, church? Would you bow your head right where you're at? Father, our heart is this, that we cannot overcome it without your help today. We need the helper, the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so right now, in all of us, God, there are areas, there are things, there are struggles, sins, issues, whatever, that God, right now, you and I know about. This is not about the person on my right and my left right now. This is about me and you. And Father, I need your love, your forgiveness, and help. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you that my purpose is still in front of me. And so right now, in this room, I just declare the help of the Holy Spirit right now over every one of us. God, because we can't do this alone, and we don't want to think about doing it by ourselves. For some of us, we're getting ready to make life decisions. It's going to alter things in our families, in our life. It's going to affect things. We're going to get serious about it. We're going to get help with it. We're going to overcome these challenges and these things in Jesus' name. And I come against Satan in the name of Jesus and his voice that would try to continue to deceive and try to keep you and I in a trap. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break your power and we rebuke you today in the name of Jesus. We declare you have no right, you have no authority in our lives. And I declare that he who the Son sets free is free indeed in this place. And I declare right now the healing and the freedom of God come upon our lives in Jesus' name. And we declare we give you no longer a foothold in our life. You have no place in our life, no authority in our lives. Satan, you are defeated in Jesus' name. And I declare now the love and the acceptance and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to move and to work in us all over this room. God, we need you in our minds and our thoughts and our decision making. We need you at work. We need you at home. We need you in our marriage. We need you with our kids. God, we need you. So Father, I pray, give us the boldness to take the step that we need to overcome it in the mighty name of Jesus. All over this place, if you would, just keep your head bowed, eyes closed, all across the room. If you're here this morning and you don't know God, you don't have a personal relationship with him, I want to give you an opportunity here today that you can know him personally in a real way. He's a relational God. It's not about knowing religion. It's about a relationship. And all over this room, if you don't know him, or maybe you have drifted away from God, but I'm just encouraging you today, man. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He is not mad at you. He is in love with you. And all over this place, if you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I need that. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But I want you to boldly, right there where you're sitting, just raise your hand here in a second on the count of three and say, man, that's me. That's me. We're going to pray all together in this place. But come on, I want you to be honest with nobody looking around. Come on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, all over this place. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Come on, anybody else that says, man, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Gotcha. Awesome. Awesome. Come on, let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from my past. Today, by faith, my heart belongs to you. Thank you for dying for me so that I can live for you. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning. Can we, church? Come on, everybody. Come on. Proud of you guys.